The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. I say good morning to our neighbors to the left and to the right. Okay. And say to them, welcome to church this morning. Are you ready for an encounter with God? Are you ready for the next level? Amen. So today, we are going to look at anointing for the next level. Anointing for the next level. And bringing the word of God to us today is our RP, Pastor Richard. So let's humble our hearts and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is able to save us and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So let's put our hands together for the Lord as we welcome Pastor Richard. Let's keep clapping and clapping and clapping.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me okay? Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for that honor. God will honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't mind, can we all kindly rise to our feet? This morning, we want to begin with thanksgiving, worship together before we get into the word. You know, like we shared in the first worship experience, today marks what is known in the Christian calendar as the Holy Week, right? The week where Jesus, you know, came into Jerusalem and then he began to take all the beating and persecution for your sake and my sake, and he was crucified. So this is Palm Sunday, hallelujah. And I'm sure when you were coming to church, you were given a palm. Just to remind you that on this day, when Jesus walked into Jerusalem, everybody was shouting, Hosanna. Can somebody say Hosanna? Yeah, they were praising him. They were, yes, I love that. If you, I mean, someone is already waving the palm front, right? They were throwing their cloaks at his feet. They were honoring him, you know. And I pray that honor will never depart from your life in Jesus' name. And then Jesus went all the way for my sake. Jesus went all the way for your sake. Are you not glad that Jesus did not abort mission for your sake? For this reason, you can be called the Son of God. You can be called the daughter of God. So let's just give him a big hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we've given him a big hand. We're going to thank him, right? We're going to just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you went all the way to Calvary for my sake. Come on, just lift up your voice and just appreciate him. Thank you that you did not abort mission for my sake. You thought about me. You knew that I needed salvation and you took the beating for my sake. You took the persecution. Oh, thank you. Come on, find it in your heart to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank him. Thank him. You set your face like a flint. You were focused on the mission. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gift of Easter. Mata ikabalobeli kasatelia andarabahaza e orotolia shalamagose elemande kasianda. I thank you for the finished works upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, zeke matalia toyele mahande mazanta. Robokota yalabayadalalalalaliazata. Ora matalianda. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the significance of this day, Lord. Thank you, faithful Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Oh, thank you, Father. Honor and glory we give unto your wonderful name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Amen. Okay, so we're going to pray. Jeremiah 4:3 says, I'm reading in the Living Bible translation, and I'll read the easy to read version as well, the Living Bible and the easy to read. And it says, plow up the hardness of your heart. You know, farmers, they plow. And the reason why they plow is because they want to have more yield. When they want to increase their fruitfulness, they will go and till the soil so that they can put more seed into it. It says, plow up the hardness of your heart, otherwise the good seed. Can somebody say the good seed? the good seed will be wasted among thorns. Your good seed will not be wasted in Jesus' name. I said your good seed will not be wasted among thorns in the name of Jesus. The easy version says, prepare yourselves. Somebody say, prepare yourselves. Like a farmer who plows his field. Do not plant your seeds where weeds are growing. And Jesus was giving us the parable of the sower. And he said that there are seeds that sow among thorns. And that the thorns choke out that seed. Meaning the worries of life can choke out your seed. The worries of life will not choke out your seed in Jesus' name. Mean the cares and anxiety, the things that pressure other people. Those things will not pressure you in Jesus' name. So good seed has been sown in our lives since the beginning of the year. In this season, good seeds are being sown. Even today, good seeds are being sown. So I'm going to pray and ask the Lord that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that my heart will be prepared. Come on, just say to the Lord, prepare my heart. Holy Spirit, help me. Let my heart be receptive. In the name of Jesus, everything that tries to exalt itself against the Lordship of Jesus in my life, oh Holy Spirit, come, my Lord, and consume it. Speak to the Lord about your heart. Let your heart be ready. Let my heart be ready to receive good seed. I prepare my heart, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Rabakanelele, break every fallow ground, my Lord. Help me break every fallow ground. Oh, break every turn against the Lordship of Jesus. Break every wall, Lord. Malaketo sieto tele marana malaliana da siata. And every seed that goes forth from this altar will bring forth a bountiful yield in the mighty name of Jesus. That I will not just be a year, but Lord, I will bring forth fruits. Thank you, faithful Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Spirit, break out.
Break our walls down.
Ask the Lord for help.
Spirit, break out.
Ale shatana kaza ele atala haziata yale. Let every hardness melt away. Let every hardness melt away.
Yeah.
name of Jesus to erect itself against the lordship of the Lord in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. They are broken in Jesus' name. Everything that comes as a logic to try to water down the truth of the Lord in your life, we say from this day forth, there shall be non-existent in Jesus' name. And so shall it be in Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please, you may be seated. And thank you for joining us in worship. I want to start by saying thank you to Papi for the privilege of being able to teach in this capacity. The first time we did this, we said that Papi took a risk with us that after we taught, people will come back to church on Sunday. So it looks as if the risk worked, and we're getting used to teaching on Sundays, but we're grateful for the privilege, and I just want to say thank you to Papi. Everybody say, God bless Papi in the mighty name of Jesus. So today, as we can see on the screen, we're going to be talking about anointed for more. Can somebody say anointed for more? Come on, say anointed for the next level. Anointed for the next level. And as a church, we've, like we said in our prayer, we've been given a lot of good seed. A whole lot of good seed. We've been given a lot of good seed, you know, sown from this altar. And the question I am asking myself, and I'm going to ask a lot of questions this morning. What are you doing with the seeds you've been given? You've been anointed. Even in the God you're doing service, normally we anoint us, right, with oil on our head. What has happened since then? What has happened since the beginning of the year when you heard open doors? And our scriptural meditation this morning, our text is taken from a scripture that we have dealt with a whole lot as a church. And it's taken from 2 Kings 4, from verse 1 to verse 7 in the New Living Version. And I want you to please be interactive with what we're about to do, right? Like the first service people, they were very helpful. So the scripture says, now the wife of the son of one of the men who tell what will happen in the future cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. Everybody say, hey, yeah. Come on, I need you to be more interactive. Okay? She said, you know that your servant honored the Lord with fear, but the man to whom he owed money, so the man that feared the Lord and could see tomorrow, he was in debt. Everybody say, hey, yeah. He said, the man has come to take my two children to make them serve him. That means to turn to Omod or slave. Everybody say, hey, yeah. Elisha said to her, what can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Can somebody say, ah, yeah. That is light bulb moment. She said, your woman servant has nothing in the house. Everybody say, hey, yeah. Except for a jar of oil. Somebody say, ah, yeah. So after all, there's something, right? Then he said, go and get jars from all your neighbors. Somebody say, ah, yeah. That's light bulb moment there. Get empty jars, many of them. Somebody say, ah, yeah. And some people are not saying, ah, yeah. It means you are not getting your light bulb moment, okay? Then go in and shut the door behind you and your son. Somebody say, ah, yeah. We just went through a series of shut the door. Amen. She said, and Elisha says to her, pour the oil into these jars and set aside each one that is full, not empty or half. Ah, yeah. So she went from him and shut the door. Obedience. Behind her and her sons, they took the jars to her and she poured. Can somebody say, ah, yeah. When the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another jar. And he said to her, he don't finish. There is no more jar left. Somebody say, hey, yeah. Then the oil stopped flowing. Hey, yeah. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil, money in your pocket, aya. Pay what you owe, aya, no more debt. You and your sons can begin to flenge your aya. May the Lord bless the reading and the understanding of his words in Jesus' name. And like I said at the beginning, if you have been with us for a while, you are no stranger to this scripture. Papi has taught this scripture left, right, center, like they say. He has brought out all kinds of revelation. So when I was told that I need to prepare for service, and I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me this scripture, I'm saying, what can I teach from this scripture again? It's finished. There's nothing to bring out. But you see, the word of God is expansive. It never ends. You can hear the word of God, one same scripture, right? 365 days and you have 365 revelations. Praise the name of the Lord. That's why God is not man. And I'm praying that this morning you will catch a revelation in Jesus' name. So I began to think, personally, this story is a tragic story for me. And every time I've heard the story, I've heard the story from the part of the woman. And you know, we did. Thank you for doing all the ayahs and ayahs. Thank you. Just let's give a clap of it unto the Lord and just celebrate ourselves. You are a wonderful audience, right? So we heard the story from the woman's perspective on how she sort of rescued her family, and that's fantastic. But every time, maybe because I am a man, and by man I am I'm a provider by nature, I began to think about the tragic, right, story of a man who could see tomorrow, right, but do nothing about tomorrow. This story haunts me and has haunted me for a while, you know, and I ponder from the man's perspective that he could see his future, but he could not secure his future. He could see the future of his family, because that's what the Bible says, but he couldn't secure his future. This is a man, you know, filled with spiritual gift. The gift was so sharp and potent, profound gift. The Bible says he could foretell what will happen. Don't miss that. For someone to be able to foretell what will happen means that the person actually knows what you will wear tomorrow. So this guy could actually tell what the scores of Manchester United's match will be this evening. He could actually tell that Arsenal will beat Real Madrid 3-0 last week. Right? Someone say, And maybe this week you'll give them another four. I'm not an Arsenal fan, no. I'm saying you need to find this guy. Because with this guy, guess what? All that Bet Niger betting, your ticket not go cut again. I'm not saying go and gamble. First of all, you say, Pastor, say, talk. This week now, he say, Arsenal go show. I don't say Arsenal go show. I'm just saying, in a sense, that is what this guy could do. This guy could tell what, he says he could foretell, and there will be accuracy in what he is foretelling. He could tell what will happen in the country tomorrow. So you want that kind of person on your team, don't you? Don't you? So seriously, this is a prophet. He's like the mouthpiece of heaven, because when he speaks, his words will not fall to the ground. But here's the twist. When this guy died, the man who could see tomorrow, he wasn't only broke, he left his family in debt. And that's the paradox, and that's just the travesty of this story. That how can someone know that could see what can happen to his family, still leave his family in debt? And not just in debt, he left his widow at the brink of losing their two sons to slavery. So I asked myself, as I want to begin to ask you more questions, right? How can someone who sees tomorrow fail to prepare for tomorrow? How can you have the gift of knowing what will happen and still do nothing about what will happen? How does one see tomorrow so clearly but not prepare for it? How do you have the gift of foresight but die without foresowing anything? And I was explaining in the first worship, explaining that foresowing is an English language. It's not English. It's a lingua that I created myself. It's not in the dictionary. Right? But in a sense, if you could foresee, you should have been able to foresow. Right? Put something, do something about it. How does one carry divine insight and still exit the earth without any significant impact? How? And before you begin to judge the man, maybe you want to ask yourself that question. Am I creating any significant impact now with all the revelations that I've received? This is a year of open doors, hallelujah. I thought you'd be excited about that. What have you done about it? That's where the excitement becomes a little bit dampened. It's a troubling story. It's tragic. That's from the man's perspective, because it reminds us that gifting is not enough. What are you doing with the gifts you have been given? You've been anointed. What are you doing with your anointing? And being spiritually deep like this guy, right, doesn't mean being financially wise. There are a lot of spiritually deep people that are deeply broke. You can quote scripture from Genesis to Revelation, but shishi, you know, they pocket. In fact, you are assistant Holy Spirit. You can discern. But there is no conversion, no evidence to show that you are a discerning person. Ecclesiastes 9:15 tells us a story about a wise man, but he calls the man a poor man. He says, but one man who was very poor, what was happening here? The man's city was under attack, right? So when a city is under attack, who should go and fight for the city? The warriors, right? Right? Come on now. Second service people. The warriors, right? He says, but this man who was very poor, he was wise. He rallied the villagers together and managed to drive the army away. So he probably had turned ordinary people to people that were bold enough. He did something that was wise, but the bottom line is that he stopped that attack from happening. And he says that the village remains to this day, but no one remembers the name of that one wise man who saved the village. The village remains today, but the man's name is non-existent. And I began to think to myself, even Nabal in the Bible, the guy that was called the rich fool, he has a name. His name is Nabal. And if I said Nabal, you know where to go and find him in the Bible, right? Because even though he was a fool, there was something in his pocket. But here's a wise man, and he says nobody even remembers the man's name. May your significance never be forgotten in the mighty name of Jesus. So this is a sad reminder that you can be deep and still drowning. You can be saying words, and people are saying, aya. The man wise, but you can be drowning. May that not be your story in the mighty name of Jesus. Because being anointed doesn't always mean that the person is accountable. And the fact is that you can pray, right, yourself from now to 1,000 tomorrow. Principles that you do not apply will not work for you. For example, you can pray for money all you like. Your financial situation will not change. Unless as you are praying, you are listening to download the principles that changes your finances. For example, maybe when you are praying, God will say, do you know there's something you need to give? Giving is a financial principle. Because Proverbs 11:25 tells us that the generous person will prosper. It's a principle. It's not prayer that changes that. It's when you are praying, you are dialoguing with God and you are downloading the principle that changes your finances. Giving will change your finances, not prayer. You can be praying, right? And then heaven downloads to you that you need to be excellent in service. Excellent service brings you before kings. It's called diligence. And when diligence brings you before kings and you deliver, guess what? They will reward you in gold, because in the king's palace, there's always gold. Work can change your financial situation. Not wish. They are both W words. You can wish and wish and wish. How I wish. Oh, how I wish. You know that time, how I wish I started doing that job. How I wish I went for that course. How I wish I traveled that time everybody traveled. When you wish and wish and wish, nothing will change. It's when you walk. Because the Bible says, it blesses the wish of your mind. True? No, you know, it blesses the wish of your mind. No, my Bible is correct. It blesses the wish of your mind. What does he bless? The works of your hands. So God takes the wish of your mind and brings it to your hands so that he can bless it. It's a principle. It's a principle. Praise the name of the Lord. The greatest tragedy of this story for me. It's not the debt that Prophet See Tomorrow left behind. No, that's not it. The greatest tragedy for me is the fact that he died with his key and he shut the door behind him. He shut the door behind his wife and his children to the point that his wife was on the brink of, she could easily become a prostitute. And her children were literally going to become slaves. This man had insight, but no inheritance. And Bible says that the person that cannot provide for his family is worse than an infidel. And that it is a wise man that leaves inheritance for his children's children. This man had revelation, but no results. In fact, Papi was talking to us about demonstration last week. That is evidence. And I'm saying to you today that revelation without demonstration will lead to frustration. If you have revelation today, they give you another one tomorrow. Yeah, next tomorrow you come to church and there is no conversion. It's not coming with evidence that people can see and you can see. You will be frustrated and you get to a point you say, nah, lie, Christianity is not the work. Nah, scam. No, it's not a scam. It's not a scam. There are things to do and it is called the process and we will get there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And the greatest challenge, or one of the greatest challenges for believers, is that we are consistent in praying for encounters. We want to have an encounter. And I'm saying in First Worship Experience, if I said, or we said, that we have a miracle service. For example, GWDI service, all the chairs are full. There's nowhere to sit. We have an overflow. Where are those same people? Today is a regular Sunday. So it's a teaching Sunday, so they do not expect to have an encounter. After all, waiting, now talk, they go talk. They forget that the anointing is in the book, it's in the Bible. The anointing you seek, the encounter you seek is in the Bible. And the Bible doesn't only give you an encounter, it also gives you what to do after the encounter to make your life prosperous or successful. It says that this book of the law shall not what? Depart from your mouth. Thus shall you meditate on it when? And what will happen after that? You will prosper and you will achieve what? Great success. Christians are praying for an encounter. And while there's nothing wrong with encounters, processes, somebody say processes, are more sustainable. With process, you don't even need to be a Christian. If you practice principles, the fruit of the principles will work for you. Take for example, Gideon was threshing with, can we go a bit deeper than first step because we have a little bit of time, we can scale time, second worship experience, can we? Or should we just rush through this? Come on, give me your consent, should we just deliver sermon? Okay, deliver sermon or go deep? Somebody say, go deep. I like those things I see on the internet. Go deep, man of God, go deep, another kind. Hallelujah. Gideon had an encounter. Gideon was having an ordinary day, just doing the things that he was doing to survive. And then an angel shows and say, great man of valor. Gideon say, me? He said, yes. What happened there? Gideon had an encounter. If Gideon just had the encounter and went back to threshing wheat, you will not hear Gideon's story. But what happens is that Gideon had to go through a process. And the process meant, first and foremost, Gideon, you separate yourself from the idols in your father's house. You tear down those idols. You select people. When you will select people, I will also reduce the people and select the ones that will deliver Israel. Gideon went through a process. Israel went through a process. Otherwise, Israel would have just come out from Egypt and died by the Red Sea or in the wilderness. They went through the process. Through the process, there was pruning. The ones that were not serious, they fell by the wayside. But they got to their promised land. You will get to your promised land in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. I remember many years ago, about 15 years ago, I had an encounter. It was a regular Sunday like your Sunday. I remember that at that time, I used to go to the Catholic Church. And, you know, like I said, let me go a little deeper in the second worship experience. I was one leg in and one leg out of Christ. I had not really born again, you know, but my eyes had seen Pepe the year before. And I'd begun to say, blessed, I would trust this God. By pepper, I mean I lost a loved one. And that shook me. So and I remember vividly, it was the 23rd day of February in 2010. Why do I remember the date? Because the week before, I had proposed to my wife. We're going to be 15 years in marriage. Hallelujah. I had proposed to my wife, and she had said yes. So I'd come back from the UK feeling like, aha, so what next? But my cousin had said, will you go to my church with me? And I said, which church? Let me describe the church. I won't call the name of the church. But this is how the church was described to me before that time. Saying that guy did a blow for that church. Meaning what they're saying, that there's no power in that church. The people just go there and look fine. The way you're looking fine this morning. Come on, celebrate yourselves. You're not looking fine. Okay, let me celebrate you. You're looking fine. Come on, celebrate yourself well. You have to come into the act of being able to celebrate yourself. Anyway, they said the church, you know, it's just fancy. It's fashion they go and do there. So I will not mention the name of it. Maybe some of you are already getting clues. So I followed her to our church where they just do fancy. You know the way they say, if you want to pray, may you go where? What church? If you want to pray, go where? So you get the code. So this one was known for fashion. So I went to the church. And I will never forget. The pastor was teaching on a topic called From Ziklag to Jerusalem. And the story from Ziklag to Jerusalem is just people that want to move from, you know, David had been made king, but Saul had pursued him. So David was in Ziklag. They had stolen his family, his possessions. He had cried to God, inquire, pursue, overtake, recover. So he was just saying, is there anybody here that wants to go from Ziklag to Jerusalem? And he made the altar call. So that story from Ziklag to Jerusalem is more like a prosperity story, right? Anybody following? It wasn't a come and give your life to Christ kind of story, correct? It was, do you want to move from where you are now to the next place? And something just told me to go outside. Remember me? This one, an ex-cultist, you know, all the bad things you can count were in my hands at the time. A philanderer. Come on. What? Throw it, I'll catch it. In my hands at the time. So that bad boy went to meet the pastor who, all they do in your church is blow guy. And I stood there and the man said, can you in front just lift up your hands to heaven? And I lifted up my hands. And all I could remember after that was a burning, when I mean burning, sensation from my head going through my spine like electricity all the way to my toes. But I was immobile. You can clap unto the Lord. I was immobile. I remember being where in a place where it was as if, you know, like when they stab you, like, ah. See, the man was making his proclamations. And when he finished, bad boy embarrassed, picked himself up and went back to my seat, JJ. And my cousin was saying, what happened? That you were shaking violently. Violently, like someone was shaking you. That is an encounter. But what is the story here? I did not stay in the place of encounter. I called my friend at the time, Pastor Asote. Everybody celebrate Pastor Asote for me. I said, that your Jesus when you don't tell me about sins. I bet I will fit a woke up with him. And then the process started. Today I stand before you, being able to pour into you. Hallelujah. Because I did not stop as encounter. I followed a process. And what am I saying? God uses encounter to start the journey, but it is processes that shape the destination. You can't stay in a place of encounter. An encounter may open the door, but it is process that will walk you through it. God said to us, what do you see? God said to us, what do you do? It's open doors. Even walking is a process. You can't be using your mouth to say, I walk through it, and you're seated doing nothing. There's a process through the proclamation that you have been making. And the widow in our story had an encounter with the prophet. But the breakthrough that came through a process. It came through a process of her being to identify what she had that she did not know she had. There was oil in her house. It came through the process of being able to identify that she had neighbors, right? So guess what? There's a process of building relationships. She had been building relationships. If she was caustic and crusty and sulky and moody and awkward, she would not have any neighbor to borrow vessels from. So there's a process of nurturing relationships. It came through a process of being able to go and borrow. How many people can you go and meet and they will borrow you something? Meaning that you are accountable.
It came through a process. That was the process. Then the process of even taking the vessels and shutting a door, because she could have taken the vessels and been making noise about it. Pastor, don't give me code of how to take multiply oil. Now we dey run this town. At the end of the day, when she tries to pour oil, only one drop will fall into the jar. Boom, and oil has stopped. They'll say the message, not the walk. It came through the process of being able to discern that she needed to shut her mouth and shut her door. And she took her children and she began to pour oil. That is the process. She was developing herself. And then guess what? The process of taking it out even to the marketplace. That is a process. Because if she did not take that anointed oil to the marketplace, her story may as well end as her husband's story. House full of oil now. Guess what? But die broke. May that not be your story in the name of Jesus. Because a house full of oil and die broke will actually look like gifted but broke. You are going viral but you are empty. You are educated but you are lost. The person is saved but they are confused. That is a house full of oil and dying empty. May that not be your story in the mighty name of Jesus, or rather dying full. Many are gifted and touched by God, but they remain broke or ineffective because they shy away or they downplay process. Please, my brother, please, my sister, never downplay a process. Never downplay a process. This woman did not downplay a process. She didn't have the gift that her husband had, but she had oil and the posture of obedience, and that was all she needed. That was enough. She didn't walk into a visible office. She was not even the prophet. She didn't need to be the prophet. She wasn't waiting for them to announce her as HOD before she begins to execute her talents in church. She didn't wait for them to say, okay, you are the one leading this project, before she begins to bring an impact in that project. God is speaking to someone here this morning. And thank God that she took her cry when she realized that she needed help. She took it to the right source, the right place. That's also instructive for someone. Who are you taking your cry for help to? Is it people that can just gossip with you? Or people that can say, hey, yeah? Or people that can actually speak into your life and give you direction? Now, this is a part I don't want you to miss. Notice that when she went to meet Elisha, Elisha did not wave his hands and say, in the name of Jesus, come out of debt. He didn't say a prayer. If he had said a prayer, that would have been good. Elisha gave her a process. In verse 3, listen to this. It says, go sell the oil. Go sell the oil. Get jars. Shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour the oil. Sell the oil. Leave on the rest. That's a process. Elisha gave her a process. And what I need us to see there is that it is not the presence of the oil that changes your story. It is what you do with the jars of oil that change your story. So it's open doors, hallelujah. When we say open doors, be excited though. It's open doors, hallelujah. Open doors is a gift to you, to me, to us as a church. But I want to ask you some more questions. Since Open Door began, you know when they give you a gift, right? You didn't really do anything for it, right? But the question is, how many proposals have you sent out concerning the oil that you have since you heard about Open Doors? Is your CV still the same way it was last year before Open Doors? Please, can I ask you, right? That dream that you once had, you know that dream, right? That you buried 5-6 years ago. Have you awakened that dream and said, because I know that it's Open Doors and I'm unstoppable, I'm going to push out that dream right now, because I know that it's not by my power. There's already a gift, right? But I know that that gift will avail for my Open Doors. What have you done since the beginning of the year when you heard Open Doors? Oh, you know what? When Papi preached about shut the door, what did you do last week? It is Open Doors, and I walked through it. What did you walk through last week? Praise the name of the Lord. Because walk through them, Open Door, right, is taking action and not just prophesying. When you say I walk through it, walking is an action, isn't it? Am I moving, guys? Am I moving? I am taking an action. You must take an action. You are anointed for the next level. You are anointed to do more. So what lessons do we learn from this man that could see tomorrow but died broke? This guy that was gifted with an ability, maybe even had more than one ability. Like some of us here are multi-gifted people. Maybe his gift was beyond just foreseeing. What can we learn from his story? And I felt like in the first worship experience that maybe this is a warning that you need to know. And the warning is, what can you learn from his story so that your story does not end up like his story? What can you learn from his story so that your story does not end up like his story? So four quick reminders this morning. In a sense, four thresholds that we must cross if we are going to avoid living gifted but leaving nothing. L-I-V-I-N-G, gifted, but L-E-A-V-I-N-G, nothing. What can we do? Number one, don't just see soul. Don't just see soul. And this is the threshold between vision and provision. Because many times we see vision, but we don't convert the vision to provision. The prophet could see the future, but never planted for it. No, listen, I didn't say never planned for it. I said he never planted for it. Because you can plan and still not do nothing. He never planted. He never made an investment in the future that he could see. He had revelation, but he did not create any kind of provision. And so we see that foresight without foresowing leads to failure. Foresight without foresowing, remember foresowing is my own lingua, leads to failure. Okay, let me use general lingua. Foresight without follow through will lead to famine. You have foresight, you have revelation. If you do not follow through, alarm will finish you. Alarm will not finish you in Jesus' name. Say amen. So what must I do? Open the door of intentional sowing, starting now, today, and every day. Somebody say now, today, and every day. Sow today, sow. And when I mean sow, I'm not just talking about money alone. Money is good. You must sow money because, remember, the generous prospers. But also sow your time, sow your talent. Do something. Somebody say, do something. Do something. Because it's not enough to have this gift. It's what you do with the gifts that counts. Why? Because gifts are not given for our gratification. They are given for value creation. Gifts are not given for self-gratification. They are given for value creation. Are you sitting on a gift that the world needs? Are you sitting on a gift that no one knows exists? Some of us are talented in some areas that nobody knows exist about you. I think I've mentioned once, one of the most intriguing stories I've heard is how Moi Moi took a woman to the White House. Moi Moi. Beans pudding. Beans took her to the White House. I want that to sink a little bit. Some of us, if you cook, the only thing they cannot really eat is the plate. Because the food is so delicious. Are you really, what are you doing? And I'm not saying I'm saying go and start a restaurant, but many times your gifts are just being wasted. They're being wasted. Your gifts will not be wasted in the mighty name of Jesus. If nothing could stop you, if you didn't have to worry about money, if all your needs were met, if all your provisions were catered for, what will you do? Where would you be? Scratch that. The ultimate question is, who would you be if nothing would stop you? Who would you be? And this is a story. This is a question I've had to wrestle with myself. I was sharing the first worship experience. I started out my major business career as an oil and gas trader. I was doing oil and gas logistics for the major IOCs at the time. Moving their products from point A to point B, making money. I pivoted from that
into electronic security. I'm still there, and I pivoted from that even into a consultant and an executive coach. That journey is the most painful and unsure journey you can ever think. Meaning, going, just saying, I'm not going to rest where I am. I need to move for more. I need to move for more. It is painful. It will require your time. You will need to invest in it. But I can testify of the gains. What will stop you if everything that causes you to be afraid is taken care of? That's a question you want to wrestle with. And it's a question that you want to conquer this morning. Who will you be if nothing will stop you? And like I was saying in the first worship experience, I pray that this thought will make you uncomfortable all through today, all through the week, until you begin to do something about it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. May this thought make you uncomfortable, shift you out of your comfort zone, until you begin to do something about it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So number one, don't just see. So number two, don't just speak. Structure. And this is the threshold between spiritual fire and sustainable function. Many of us speak powerfully. We talk about all the grandiose things, but we do and we build nothing. Your gifts must find a system. Your gift must find a model. Your gift must find a medium. It must find an expression. Elisha gave the widow what her husband did not give her. Her husband had oil, but he did not give her a framework for the oil. He had oil, but he did not give her a plan of all the things that the oil could do. But Elijah, when she came to Elijah, Elijah said, you know what? I got a framework for you. He said, go, borrow plenty vessels. That's a framework. Anybody can apply it. That's what a framework is. A framework is not limited to one person. A framework is something that anybody can apply and get the results of that intervention. Go and borrow vessels. Leave your comfort zone. Leverage on your relationship. Pour the oil. Stop playing the victim. Please, can you turn to somebody and say, stop playing the victim? Come on. That person in here, you turn to that person. Turn. Say, stop playing the victim. Stop complaining about Nigeria. It's bad, we know. But you need to do something about it. Do something about it. He gave her a framework. He says, after you have multiply your oil, exchange the value and get out of debt and be a blessing to your family. You will be a blessing to your family in Jesus' name. Structure. Somebody say structure. So don't just see. So don't just speak. Structure. Number three, don't just be good. Build. Build. And this is the threshold between being good and becoming a builder of good, great things. The man who saw tomorrow didn't build anything on the insight he had. He had lots of insight. He knew when calamity was coming. He did not build anything on that insight. You will build on your insight in the mighty name of Jesus. Interestingly, the Bible called this man an honorable man. But honor doesn't always equal fruitfulness. Honor doesn't always equal fruitfulness. In fact, high morals with complacency will lead to poverty. You can have the highest morals and not take bribe and still be poor. Yes, you shouldn't take bribe. You're not supposed to take bribe. You can begin to judge the other people, but high morals with complacency will still give you poverty. So what am I saying? Good intentions, high morals, even spiritual gifts are not a replacement for legacy. They're not a replacement for legacy because you can be godly and still be irresponsible. We see a lot of godly, irresponsible people everywhere, even in the marketplace. Honor does not equal to legacy. Honor does not equal to legacy. And this is where a lot of people, especially believers, tend to struggle. They say, but I am a good person now. I don't take bribe. I'm a Jesus boy. I'm a Jesus girl. I do not compromise. And you begin to think that everybody that is driving a big car is a Yahoo Yahoo boy. You see, and you drive big Benz, yao yao boy. Then you saw her with her bone straight hair looking lovely. She said, Ron's girl. No, it's not everybody that's driving big Benz as a yao yao boy. It's not everybody that's wearing bone straight, smelling nice, looking lovely, that is a Ron's girl. It's not. Some of them are actually changing their world. So rather than judge them, go out and change your world. Go out and put in the work. Come forth with excellence. Bring value and drive your big Benz so that other people will see you and call you yao yao boy. Come out, my Lord. Come out and be a blessing to your own community with your intelligence. Wear your bone straight hair and let them call you a Ron's girl. But don't sit there and judge people when you do not exactly know what they are doing. Face front. Somebody say face front. Face front. Focus on your own so that God can bless your own. Question to you. Actually, I'll ask you a little question. What has changed in your value since the beginning of the year of Open Doors? What have you been building? What has changed? What have you been building? What have you created? What have you given? Listen, if your answer genuinely, you know, because there are real questions, is nothing to any of those questions, it's okay. God is merciful, amen? And God will show you mercy, as God showed mercy to the prophet's family. He intervened on behalf of the widow. But remember that being good does not guarantee impact. It is what you do with your goodness that guarantees impact, right? And I was saying in the first watch because my coach calls it the goodwill exchange, right? You can be good but have no goodwill, no impact. But when you are good and you have a goodwill, then there will be something to exchange for your good. And I said again that when we're growing up, they say a good name is better than riches. It is correct. A good name is better than riches. It is correct. But who says you need to choose either good name or riches? Yes, if you have to choose the good name. But you can have both of them. Your name can be good and still create wealth for you. So why are you? So, and some people now say, I won't get good name. Everybody went rich. Nah, something. There's a skeleton in every rich man's cupboard. It's a lie. Na lie. Thank you, Mbaji. Na lie. Be good name and rich. Because your poverty cannot help anybody. Nobody wants to know your poor God. Be good, right? And be rich. Let your good name open doors for your children. As a matter of fact, if there's one thing I love about this prophet, is that he had a name that opened doors for his family. But it would have been sweet because the thing that they used in the opening door for his family, where was it? In his house. In his house. God's mercy has prevailed for you, but you must open your heart and yield to what God is placing in your heart, even right now. Please, yield for what God, as I'm speaking, I know he's poking someone. Yield to it. Don't argue with it. Argument with it is the voice of the enemy trying to shut you up. Tell yourself that I will use this message. And the message, guess what? When you leave here, the hunger should make you go and open up the Shut Your Door series. Listen to the message again. Listen to Open Doors. Pick all the blessings, the seeds that have been sown, and use them to begin to prosper your life. How many more messages do we need to hear before our world changes? One is enough. I love the song that says, we just one look, everything changes. I'm captivated. I'll never be the same. We just one look, everything changes. Yes, it does. I'm captivated. Yes, I am.
I'll never be the same.
Come on, one more time.
We just one look, everything changes.
Yes, it does.
I'm captivated. I'll never be the same.
You are looking for another touch. Thank you to watch us. Another touch. One touch is enough. One look is enough. You've already had the encounter. You are anointed for more. Get up and go. Turn to somebody. Turn to them. Say, get up and go. Get up and go. The other one. Get up and go. Get up and go. God's mercy has already prevailed for you. But you to make it for it to make sense, you have to trust God for the process. And that brings us finally to number four. Don't just have oil. Pour your oil. Somebody says, pour it. Don't just have oil, pour it. And this is the threshold between preservation and multiplication. You know, and there are schools of thoughts, you know, if you're just playing, looking for something to play with on the internet, that said that this man that could see tomorrow, right, his oil was even his, you know the anointing that breaks yoke. When people want to dedicate their new house, he used the anointing to bless their new house. When they have new babies, he will use it to pray for their children. In fact, when the people are barren, he will use the anointing to pray for them. They will have children. So the anointing oil was just in the house. He had what it took, but it was doing nothing for him. There are no facts to back it. Remember, we're just playing around with the thoughts just to help you to stir up your reasoning, right? The point is that the prophet had the oil in his house, but it was not multiplying. That same oil was in his house. It was not multiplying. So what am I trying to say here? The oil is not for display. The oil is for deployment. The oil is not for display. The oil is for deployment. Your gifts, our gifts, must be deployed. They are not just to be displayed. Our gifts must be used. The word you have been hearing since, you must apply it. It's not just for display. And quoting Papi, he says, the oil multiplies when it is poured. It is only when you pour the oil that it multiplies. Think about it. When Jesus, if Jesus was, the people that came with him were hungry, and Jesus did not take that bread and break it, everybody would have been hungry since they went home. It was when Jesus broke the bread and gave it that he began to multiply. And even the people that were afraid of demons, could not cast out demons, that ran and left Jesus naked like we learned on Wednesday, all of them, they were multiplying bread too. They were doing something. They were building something. The oil only multiplies when you begin to pour it. And Papa was talking about that's where faith comes in. So to think that this man died full makes this story troubling. But we're grateful that his wife lived because she emptied what was full in her house. She emptied it. When she came to Elisha, Elisha didn't perform any miracles. She didn't come just looking for miracle. She didn't come looking for just encounter. She came looking for instructions because she had a posture of obedience, saying, whatever you tell me to do is what I will do. May you have that posture in the mighty name of Jesus. The oil was already in the house. The oil was already in the house. What you need to start is already in your house. What you need to start, my brother, is already in your house. What you need to start, my sister, is already within you. You already have what it takes. It's already available. Say amen. The oil is already in your house. But you must be willing to start. You must be willing to take that step. Take that step in obedience. Because it was obedience that turned the tide in favor of this woman and her family. And guess what? Elijah could have simply begun to collect offering. When she came, he could have said, hey, yeah, now my boy don't die. Such a good man. Ah, very good man. Okay, Prophet Lagbaja, Prophet Samson, Prophet Isaac. Oh, yeah, you know what? Let's open WhatsApp group. Let's begin to donate for this woman. Is that not reality? Because in life, some people will not help you, but when you die, they will donate for you. Oh, you don't know? I'm speaking from experience. They will no opportunities. But when the person is gone, they will eulogize him. Ah, in fact, he even called me last week. I missed his call. It's strange, right? People want to identify with the dead and ignore the living. So that is why you must live. You cannot live like you are dead. Because when you are living like you are living, people will find you. But they want to identify with the dead. Oh, he was such a good... And they'll begin to talk about the things that connected them with the dead. I don't know why. And then they open up a WhatsApp group and they'll begin to donate. Meanwhile, when he was alive, she did not go. So Elisha could have said, you know what, let's donate now. Let's raise 20 million naira for the family of the widow. He didn't do that because he knew that she did not need
just a gift. What she needed was a process that would sustain her and her family. And he says to her, what do you have in the house? Come on, let's multiply it right now. Identify what you have. He knew that true value will not be created in just giving her something. True value will be created in showing her how to make something. He knew that she had to move from an encounter to a process of sustainable financial growth. So he identified what could multiply and he gave her instructions. And I was saying in the first worship, if you're not certain what can multiply in your hand and in your life, you can come and talk to us in church office. Guess what? You can take our spiritual growth classes. The journey particularly helps you identify with your shape. When I came to church, one of the things that helped me the most was I identified with my shape. I realized that, you know what, I could speak. Even though if I put me on a stage, I would freeze with fright. My first assignment in speaking was to speak to teenagers. I mean, you know that those guys can be bullish, right? They would intimidate you with questions. And I can remember the teenagers we had at the time. Sometimes Pastor Esther would say, the guys we had at the time, they would challenge you. When you are talking, they will be talking, right? They will be testing you. I was building capacity. And then one day, Papi said, take opening prayer. I was building capacity. I began to say, oh Lord, how do I pray this prayer? I won't stutter. And then one, they say, okay, you know what? Not take opening prayer. Take the announcement. I was building capacity. Right? And then after I take, you know what? Pray a session in one of the videos. I was building capacity. Today I stand before you teaching a sermon. I am building capacity. During the week, I will go get one of my clients. You know what? I'll speak to them for 1 hour. They will pay me. Send spirits to my account. I'm building capacity. Yes. Sweet. So sweet. Don't take it for granted. Build something. Somebody say, build something. Build something. The point is, God activates what you are willing to pour. While a handout may end a crisis, and I just say temporarily, pouring builds capacity. If Elisha gave her silver, she'd be saved for a day. But God showed her oil so she could be sustained for a lifetime. Why? Because God doesn't just answer problems. God awakens potentials. God is awakening your potential today. He's saying, do something. Please do something, my brother. Please do something, my sister. Please do something, daddy. Mommy, please do something. Whatever you do, don't do nothing. Do something. Come on, say, I will do something. Come on, say it. Come on, say it like you mean it now. Say, I will do something. I will do something. Say it. Come on, say it. Say it. Let it resonate with you. I will do something. I'll do something. I'll begin to teach. I'll do something. I'll take care of my home. I'll do something. I'll be a blessing to my church community. I will do something. I'll go out this week, right, and bring my best to my organization. I'll be a blessing to my boss. Do something. I'll be a blessing to my community. Do something. I know of a guy that his own practicing ground, training ground, was chairman of his estate. Chairman of his estate resident association. That prepared him for leadership in governance. Do something. Start where you are with what you have. So God is saying to us, especially in this season of open doors, you are anointed for more. You are anointed for more. You are anointed for more. I am anointed for more. We are anointed for more. Go from this place today and pour into someone else. Pour into systems. Pour into your organization this week. Pour into your family. Stop judging them. Pour into your friends. Stop catching them winch like we talk about. Stop seeing all the things that are wrong with them. Pour into their lives. Think about it for a moment. A lot of emphasis, teaching about the woman now. I've done a lot of emphasis on the man. What about the children? They saw their mother go from broke, right? And yes, slavery. She's about to lose us boys. They must have been what? The youngest of them would be 5 years old. Because if they're able to help their mother in carrying stuff, right? It means that their bones are formed. Correct, guys? Right? Correct? So I'm saying maybe they're 10 years old. They saw firsthand their mother take nothing and turn into something. So what she has done, she has set those children up for life. They take that thing, the system that their mother has shown them, and they put it to work. They will never be broke. So she was pointing to her children. Elisha was intentional. Elisha could have said, you go, shut your door, pour your oil, right? She said, he said, shut your door with who? Come on, man. Come on, man. Shut your door with everybody that you need to pour into and multiply that oil. Come on, multiply that oil in your family this week. Multiply that oil in your workplace this week. Do something about it. Change the story of other people, and God will bless you with a lasting legacy. So don't die full, because full graves make empty legacies. Can we bow our heads, please? Full graves make empty legacies. Full graves make empty legacies. And I want us to just talk to God about what we have heard. We're going to pray, everyone, now. We have a little bit of time. We're going to pray. But before we all pray together, I want to give an opportunity for some people to settle their relationship, because this prayer we're about to pray is best prayed as a child of God, as one surrendered to God. So before we pray that prayer together as a church family, asking God to help us, you want to settle your relationship with Jesus. You know you are here, and Jesus is not the Lord and Master of your life. You cannot even begin to pour anything. You cannot even begin to talk about anointed for more. You need to settle that right now. If you know that Jesus is not the Lord and Master of your life, put up your hand and we'll pray with you first. Nobody's watching. All heads bowed, all eyes closed for privacy. Nobody's watching you, but heaven is watching you. Heaven sees beyond your outward. Heaven sees your heart. I want you, Jesus, as the Lord and Master of my life. Put up your hand and we'll pray with you. Or you, Jesus, I used to know you as the Lord and Master of my life, but something happened and I moved. I want to come back home today so that I will be able to impact my world. Put up that hand and we'll pray together. Is that your hand over there? If you have received the card, is that your hand over there? If you have received the card, just begin to talk to the Lord yourself. If your online instructions are already scrolling, just send your details to that email provided. I'm making a call one last time for those of us in the auditorium. You don't want to leave here the same way you have come. You want to settle it to the Lord right now. I need you, the Lord and Master of my life. Put up that hand now. And pray together. Or you want to come back home, put up that hand and pray together. Father, we thank you. That's a hand. That's a hand. Father, we thank you for everyone committing their lives to you. My brother that has responded to this call, we ask, Lord, as he stands at the door and knock, you stood at the door and knock on their hearts, and they opened up, that you come in and make a meal with them. Lord, let there be the transformation in this life. Let there be evidence, my Father, of your goodness to your children. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. With our heads still bowed, I want you to focus. We're just going to pray two prayers. And the first thing I want you to do, and I want you to pray to the Lord from your heart. I want you to ask the Lord to show you your oil and teach you how to multiply it. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, say, Father. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, show me my oil and show me how to multiply it. Come on, speak to him. Show me how to multiply it. Show me how to multiply it. Show me how to multiply this gift, my Father. Let it be a moment of sincerity. Maybe you already know your oil. Say, Lord, show me how to increase it. Show me how to increase it, Lord. Show me how to increase it. Please, can we all pray? Pray. Pray. Because we don't want this to just be another service. You came and you went home. Nothing changed. Let our lives begin to change now. Show me my oil. Show me how to multiply it. Let my gifting, come on, say to the Lord, Lord, let my gifting not end with me. Come on, say to him. I don't want to die like that man that could see tomorrow and there was nothing to show. That's your next prayer point. Let my gifting not end with me, my Father. Oh, mahata kika dozeleki malakayede. Eredeli azatakamu mande ashala babobo siandani akasi anda. Oh, let my gifting bless generations after me, my Father. Mazika kaye teleli azala karobo ande asata. Lebature kuma asayele atala analianda. Oh, Rabashele Batania Zikazate, Mendole Kabara Babali Asataele. Let my giftings not end with me, my Father. Show me my oil and show me how to multiply it. Show me how to increase it, my Father. Lord, I give you praise. Let's begin to say thank you to the Lord for answer prayers. Come on, thank him. 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 Thank him because you've received. Masi Hatala Bukosa Ede. Thank you, faithful Father.
Let's keep saying thank you to the Lord. Father, we are grateful. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Father, thank you for your word. Your word that is washing us. Father, thank you for your word. That brings light in our lives. Thank you for your word that shows us the way. Thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet. Lord, we are grateful. Thank you for the privilege to know you. Lord, we say thank you. Take all the glory, Father. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. That was awesome, wasn't it? Let's put our hands together for the Lord. We thank God for his word. You see, the word of God is living, so it's dynamic. And you can read the scripture another day and you'll get more revelation. Amen. So let's just say thank you to the Lord for Pastor Richard. Let's stretch out our hands and pray that the Lord will bless him, that every virtue he has expended here today, that the Lord will replenish in the name of Jesus, even as he has watered, that the Lord will water him in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for using him. Lord, we pray that you will take him from glory to glory, and your name will continually be glorified in his life. Every word that he has spoken here today will not stand in judgment against him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah.